Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. When the COVID state of emergency in California ended this year, so did the emergency allotment of food assistance. And some would argue that the additional CalFresh benefits are still needed amid a time when inflation is straining food banks' capacity to help everyone in need. And the difference in the amount a person received during the pandemic for groceries to now can be staggering. Joining us to discuss the challenges CalFresh recipients and food banks are facing is CAP Radio healthcare reporter Kate Wolf. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning, Vicky.
So this CalFresh emergency allotment, it ended at the end of March after really 3 years of recipients receiving at least an additional $95 a month increase. So we're now 6 weeks or so out. How are recipients adjusting to these changes?
So the emergency allotment program was a federal policy, and it ended with the Consolidated Appropriations Act, which was signed into law at the end of last year. So folks have known for a few months, although about one in five CalFresh recipients do speak English as a second language, so that presents its own challenges. As for how people prepared, I think that it ranges. I spoke with Heidi Bergdahl, who is disabled and on Social Security. I met her in the parking lot of Arcade Church up in the Arden Arcade area, where she was at a food bank distribution. She was getting $23 in benefits before the pandemic, and with the emergency allotments, she started getting $260 a month. It made a huge difference in her life.
It's more than tenfold.
Yes, and it really made it so that she could shop at her neighborhood store. She had more flexibility. She could buy more nutritious options. And since she found out that these benefits were going to be ending, she's been stockpiling food. She's been buying meat to fill her freezer. She's been going to the food bank. And she says she's kind of running out of room a little bit in her apartment because she has all these dry goods boxes. She knows that, and they won't last forever. So this is what she said to me.
Between losing the pandemic money, the increase in rent, the increase in grocery costs, you know, it's going to be a juggling act, you know, making sure I get the best value for my money. And at some point, it may take me a year, but I'm going to go through all the stuff I've been picking up here. And I'll keep coming as long as they're doing this, because it is saving me money.
And this comes at a time when inflation is at a 40-year high. So, I mean, we're talking about in this woman's case, in Heidi's case, I mean, it's just a fraction of what Heidi was receiving per month, from $260 a month to $23 a month. Now we have inflation. So are CalFresh benefits being adjusted to reflect the price increases that we're all seeing at the store?
They are not. A lot of folks on Social Security received a cost of living adjustment this year. So there are other federal programs that are changing slightly. CalFresh, more broadly, SNAP food benefits, because CalFresh is part of SNAP, which is the federal food aid policy. CalFresh has not changed, and that's a big problem. According to the food bank, which says, you know, we go to the store, $23 barely gets you a gallon of milk, a carton of eggs, and a loaf of bread nowadays. So the food bank is asking the state to adjust that minimum from $23 to $50, but Governor Gavin Newsom didn't include that in his revised May budget that was just revealed last week.
Okay. Another arm of this that's also really important are food banks, right? You met Heidi at a food bank. One of the big ones in our area is the Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services. How has demand changed over the last few years?
So I spoke with Kevin Buffalino, who's the communications manager for the Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services, and he said that in its 47-year history, the food bank and its partners have only fed 300,000 people a handful of times. So that was twice during the holidays in 2020, and again this past March when people understood that the allotments were going to be ending, and so they rushed to the food bank, I think, to make sure that they could get more food, stock up a little bit.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so CalFresh allotments have definitely been part of the strain on food banks, but they're not all. So here's what he said.
In 2019, pre-COVID, we were serving about 150,000 people a month. That jumped up to that 300,000 during COVID, kind of started to slide back towards 200,000 in early 2022. And then inflation started going up and we saw our numbers go up with it. So a number of factors, it's not just emergency allotments. Inflation is playing a big part into this as well.
Yeah, and they also buy things at wholesale oftentimes as well. So they're impacted by inflation as well as seeing the impact of inflation by having to serve more people. A food bank also can be limited, and there are individuals that have dietary restrictions. They have medical conditions like diabetes. How are they managing during this time?
So the food bank hooked me up with someone named Tom McSpadden. He's a 69-year-old resident in Citrus Heights, and they helped him get reassessed for CalFresh benefits. So that he wasn't only making, you know, $50 a month. Instead, he now gets $124 a month. He has type 2 diabetes, and he's on a significantly reduced diet with this $124 a month. He's really struggling. He goes to the store at the beginning of the week, he says, and he buys a loaf of bread, a pound of ham, and it makes him, makes his food for him throughout the week. So he says he has two pieces of toast in the morning. He waits till mid-afternoon to have a few sandwiches and chips, has a big glass of milk before bed. He's trying to make it all work with his insulin levels, but he's definitely struggling. And I thought it was important to talk to him because even though the food bank is helping so many people, there are a lot of people who forego it.
Even though I have to eat bread, and in order to survive, I'm trying to still do my best, and I'm not going to take a box away from the food bank. I'm not going to feel good about bringing a box of food home and eating four or five items out of that box, and the rest of it I'm just going to sit there and I'm not going to eat it. Where mm-hmm. somebody else can use that, especially a family.
So I don't know if this is exactly Tom's situation, but there is a little bit of a misconception about the food bank that it, is only providing super calorie dense options and it won't have the right food for you. But when I went to the food bank, people could get protein sources like fish sticks, and there was produce like oranges, onions, potatoes. There's lots of good stuff. And I think food banks have begun to realize that, I have been realizing probably for a while now that that there is, it's good to have a bunch of different options for a bunch of different people. And in June, the food bank is going to go switch to a more farmer's market type situation where you can pick what you need, what you like, what fits within your diet. They do that in all sorts of partner agencies around Sacramento County, but that's going to be more of a focus.
Mm. And for those who are unfamiliar, what he was talking about the box is that traditionally you wouldn't really get to pick what you wanted, right? You essentially get a box of goods, of foods.
Exactly. Yes. So you do still get a box of dried goods. But I think that, there's more variety than maybe he expected to.
Hmm. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with CAP Radio healthcare reporter Kate Wolfe about the loss of additional food benefits during the pandemic and the impact on food banks. How is the Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services working to ensure funding and support from the state of California when we have a budget deficit? And as you just mentioned, the governor didn't include it in his May revise.
The organization is huge. It has a lobbying arm to go and ask for the things they need. In early May, food banks met with legislators to campaign for all sorts of different hunger and anti-poverty related bills. They also are advocating for more funding. They're really doing all they can to save food that will go to waste, to source food in all sorts of different spaces. But they buy 60% of their food. So they really need an infusion of state support now that the support that they're giving to the community has doubled.
Yeah. How is the state responding to food insecurity outside of not including or increasing the need or the CalFresh benefits to essentially compensate for inflation in the state budget as it stands now?
So, yes, there was some good information coming from the May revise to the state budget that was unveiled last week. On the bright side, there's been a $60 million investment in food banks buying and distributing California-grown foods. And there were a slew of investments in providing school meals for all and summer help for next year and theft protection. So a lot of stuff, laying the groundwork for a lot of stuff, anticipating that the food banks will continue needing this much aid. Going forward, the food banks were not totally pleased with everything in the May revised budget. There's still, you know, there's still time for these things to get worked out. The budget has not been finalized. And so they're still asking for that $23 to $50 minimum benefit increase. They're still asking for $180 in aid to expand capacity. And but as you know, as we've explored, there is a $31.5 billion deficit the governor is trying to work out. Huge balancing act, and not everyone can get what they want.
Right. There's also the federal component to this. CalFresh is part of SNAP, and that's the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. That is also shaped by, you know, political winds in Congress. We have a debt ceiling that is in limbo. How can this potentially impact food benefits federally, and what conversations are taking place?
So as we've been hearing on NPR this morning and kind of in the past couple of days, that's really a sticking point right now. So legislation passed by the House in April, pushed by Republicans, would impose new or expanded work requirements for federal programs, including SNAP. Currently, people who are on SNAP who are below 50 must work or participate in a job training program at least 20 hours a week to receive those benefits. And this new proposal to save money for the federal government would increase those requirements to people 50 to 55. So it would include people in that age range, too. So that is something that seems like is definitely still in conversation to be figured out on the federal level. Huge pushback, though, when this was proposed from food banks who said they're already experiencing unprecedented strain. If it's harder for people to access SNAP, if it's harder for people to access CalFresh, that's just going to add to their strain. It's going to be, you know, more difficult for those people to get CalFresh benefits. So they're going to go to the food bank.
What other programs and food resources are available in the interim?
So CalFresh will match some of what you spend. If you're signed up for CalFresh, they'll match some of what you spend at farmers markets in Sacramento, Midtown Farmers Market, at Capitol Mall, West Sac, Arden area, all over the county. And there's also a new program. If you're a senior in South Sacramento, there's something called the People to Produce Project, which shuttles people to the Florin Road Farmers Market and brings them back to a community center in Meadowview, provides a $20 voucher to use on local produce. And also, if you are getting CalFresh and you think and your situation has changed from the beginning of the pandemic to now, you can get reassessed, you know, and the food bank will help you with that. So if you call the food bank and family services, they'll help you get reassessed. That's also a great option for people.
Yeah, a lot of news you can use. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks so much.
That is CAP Radio healthcare reporter Kate Wolf discussing the end of pandemic food benefits and the impacts on recipients as well as food banks who are working to help those affected by food insecurity. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.